Again, Merry Christmas. What a wonderful thrill it is to see another Christmas morning and to be up early on Christmas morning, giving God the glory and giving Him the praise. After preaching the gospel for 100 days since September the 15th, through December the 24th, and having these devotions for now 218 days, it is a blessing to come almost to the end of the year. Having all of that steam, if you will, behind us, and all of those blessings of being able to enjoy the privilege of serving God. Join me in prayer on this Christmas morn. Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for your love, for your word tells us God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for your mercy and your grace and your Holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We praise you and we thank you for the gift of your Holy Spirit this morning and your Holy Word, and for all of the millions and manifold blessings that you have bestowed upon us beyond measure down through the years. And our Holy Father God, we thank you today that we can celebrate and remember your birthday. So many Christians do this in so many ways. We do thank you for good food provided to enjoy. But Lord, at this moment in time, we pray for the thousands of families, Lord, who have lost loved ones this past year, but not only this past year, but for the past 10 years, totaling in the millions. And there's an empty place at the dinner table as they celebrate Christmas. And in many cases, it was the child who loved Christmas the most, or the mother or the father who loved Christmas the most, or a cousin or auntie or grandmother or whatever the case. Lord, comfort those people today who are hurting, especially those who have lost loved ones in terrorist attacks. And we pray especially for the family that will try to enjoy Christmas and try to have Christmas at least with 7 members of their family who are now going on to be with you, who got killed tragically sitting in church. We have a tendency, Lord, as you know, as wicked, evil, ungodly, selfish sinners, to forget about these things and not have any concern about the pain of others. And we get wrapped up in our little, actually non-pain things compared to what these people are dealing with. And so, Lord, help everybody to pray for others. And then we pray for the millions who are homeless around the world, millions who don't have food around the world, and sadly, millions who have never heard the gospel around the world. For the gospel, by your example, is supposed to be preached to the poor, and not to just the rich and outers, the up and outers, but the poor and down and outers. And we pray that you'll help us to do that today. Thank you for the privilege, for blessing us to share the gospel in multiple ways on yesterday, even on Christmas. Lord, help us to do that today. And help every Christian to do that. Lord, help us to visit places such as homeless shelters, to pass out gospel tracts, to tell others about you on Christmas Day. Lord, motivate and move pastors who normally cancel services on Christmas to have Christmas services. What better day to worship you than on Christmas Day? And Lord, we pray that you'll bless our service late on today as well. Glorify your holy name. Lift up your holy Son, Jesus Christ, all over the world. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and for his sake, amen. Pardon me. Our family passage for this morning is simply Ephesians chapter 6, verses 18 through 20. As I've shared with you, our family has read Ephesians 5 and 6, not the whole chapter of chapter 5, but the verses dealing with the family. And because the family, particularly the Christian family, is in the crosshairs of spiritual warfare, and the main entity, I believe, the main institution that the devil strikes the most is the Christian family and other families as well. He wants the family destroyed. And the way that families can be destroyed is through disobedience, rebelliousness, stubbornness, foolishness, pride, lying, dishonesty, deceit, and there are so many ways that Satan can destroy a family. And so everybody needs to do their part. The husband and the father, the wife and the mother and the children. And one of the key things that everybody must do in the family is pray. And understand, we cannot do as Christians life our way. We have to do it God's way. And I told my wife before we got married that either we're going to do it God's way according to Ephesians chapter 5 and 6, or no way. And that meant that whatever. If we're not going to do it God's way, pardon me, all bets are off. And there's no telling what might happen. And I admit that because in my family that I came out of, it was dysfunctional because my parents did not lead the family in a biblical fashion. They probably did not know any better. But they did the best they could with the knowledge they had. And I love them and respect them. But they didn't do what the Bible says. And on my wife's side of the family, they didn't do it either. And I would venture to say they were worse. But whether they were worse or not, they didn't do it either. She came out of a dysfunctional family as well. And I said, we can't continue that. We can't perpetuate that. And now that we're saved and born again, if we know better, we ought to do better. And that's what I made up my mind to do. And God has laid it out for us in the New Testament, all across and throughout the Bible, of course, Old Testament and New Testament. And we have applied all of those, by the grace of God, those verses as well. But these two passages, Ephesians 5 and 6, we emphasize in our prayer time, our devotional time every morning. And I know that people who are walking in their flesh, and even some Christians who have modern ideas about things and have their own ideas about things, don't like this. It's the old-fashioned way. And whereas the husband is the head of the household, and the father is the head of the household, the wife is to submit to her husband. Children should obey and honor their parents. And then you, as far as I'm concerned, will have peace in the home. Will everybody be happy all of the time? No, because we got people who are only happy when they're in walking in the flesh and doing what they want to do. It's not true happiness. There's no joy in it. There's no peace in disobedience and rebelliousness and stubbornness and walking in the flesh and just doing whatever you want to do. My dad compromised and let my mother and the children do whatever they wanted, and we never had happiness in the home, real happiness. We never had joy in the home, never had peace in the home. There was always cacophony and fussing back and forth, and the silent treatment and so forth, and all of the stupid games wicked families play. Pardon me, not speaking to each other for months and passing as ships in the night and all kinds of foolishness. And so I told my wife that we're going to do it God's way or no way. And you said, well, preacher, how did you do it? How did you lead your family in that way? Because I'm having trouble. Let me just tell you how I did it. I insisted. And I meant what I said. Now, you can try to get tough like me, but she knows, and your children know whether or not you mean business. I insisted on my wife doing what she's supposed to do, and at every turn, if she didn't do it, I reminded her of her responsibilities and obligations right in the midst of the family devotions. And if she was big and bad enough to rebel against me, or to disrespect me in front of the children, I rebuked in front of the children. And I've never had any problems with my children bowing up against me in any way, shape, form, or fashion, because I insisted, and they knew I didn't play that. And I've never tolerated any talking back and such foolishness in my family. Why? Because I insisted on doing it God's way. And I meant what I said. Either we're going to do it God's way or no way. If that meant separation, so be it. If that meant divorce, so be it. It didn't matter to me. Everything was on the table. But it's going to be on you. I'm not going anywhere. I'm going to continue to do what God has called me to do and do what God told me to do as head of this household. Now, with that kind of conviction, and people know you mean business, and you're not just a big old teddy bear that they can manipulate, then you can get on down the road with something. And so I thank God that my wife and I now have been successfully married for 30 years. And I have, by the grace of God, raised my 7 children to serve God and to worship God. And they all serve with me in the ministry. And I thank God for that. Is it always pretty? No. Is it always perfect and everybody's smiling and grinning and happy all of the time? No. But obeying God and doing what God has commanded will bring a deep-seated peace and joy in your home, not only on Christmas Day, but every day of the year. And so with that shared with you and said, verse 18 of Ephesians 6, excuse me, Ephesians 6:18 says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Now, you need to be doing that in your family. And by the way, you need to be doing that especially on holidays. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? Everybody's footloose and fancy free. Everybody's already happy and merry. That's fine and dandy, but let me just tell you something. While you're partying, while you're enjoying your meal together, while you are talking and chatting and so forth and so on, you better keep your eye on that devil in the corner, for many family gatherings have turned ugly very quickly because of the devil and the demons of hell fighting against your family and bringing up things and so forth. So pray without ceasing throughout this day. You can do what you want, but I would encourage you to be praying without ceasing. Everybody should be doing it, but at least have a designated prayer in your family that's going to stay busy praying for the family. But on a very serious note, everybody should pray without ceasing every day, including holidays. Verse 19, and for me that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. If God gives you an opportunity, he's nudging at your heart to take an opportunity to witness to somebody today, to pass out gospel tracts today, make sure you do that. Tell somebody about the Lord on Christmas Day. Send out e-tracts to friends and family, old high school mates, schoolmates, not to catch up, just send them a gospel tract. Send it in the name of your church. You don't need to put your name on there and start something that don't need to be started. Just pass amen somebody. Just get the gospel out. Don't try to be slick. Just get the gospel out. Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for allowing us to see this beautiful Christmas morning. And Lord, it may very well be the last for some of us. And we thank you, Lord, however, for all of the Christmases you have allowed us to have and to see. Some of us may even die today. And Lord, we pray that everyone would examine themselves and see whether or not they be in the faith and believing in the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was born on Christmas Day long ago and who died, born to die for our sins, was buried and rose again. Lord, thank you for the privilege to serve you and to pray to you and to worship you on not only Christmas Eve, not only on Sunday, but Christmas Day. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and for his sake, amen. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we do this every Sunday, every Christmas morning. We've done it for nearly 30 years in our family, Danielle. And that is read the Christmas story. Now, for the sake of time, we're reading just one chapter. We normally read chapter 1 and chapter 2. But join us in this morning in something that our family has done every Christmas for 20 plus years. I don't think we did it the first year. We may have, I can't remember, but I know we've done it ever since the children were born. That would at least be 27 years. And we thank God for all of those Christmas morns where we read the Christmas story. So join us. You can turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 2. It is a wonderful, powerful story that I never get tired of hearing. And I don't think anybody who's saved gets tired of hearing. I'm reading out of the old-fashioned King James Version. If we have some millennials among us who don't know what that is when you go over to your grandmother's house, you'll see that Bible. That's the real Bible over on the table at your grandmother's house. And it's beside her, is on her nightstand as well. Okay, that's what I'm reading out of. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem. Now, some of you folks should understand that this is a true story. This is a true account. This is not a some kind of fiction deal. There's just too many details and too many facts that I'm reading in your hearing. Because he was of the house and lineage of David. To be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child, she was pregnant. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. These are witnesses. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And by the way, you'll be amazed at what happens particularly in the lives of Christians in the middle of the night. And the angel said unto them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." Somebody ought to say amen on Christmas morning. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord. A pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child, Jesus, to do for him, this right here seems not as bright as it should be. Just push it down and twist it this way. That might help. And he came to pass, this right here. Push it down. Okay. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child, Jesus, to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms. Wow, what a privilege to hold the Son of God. And blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thy own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age and had lived with an husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years. Details, 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 important details. Powerful details, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she, coming in that instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. And when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own city, Nazareth. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Now, his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days, they found him, Daniel, in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, How is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business? This is an interesting, a very interesting scene. Because Mary just told Jesus that your father and I have been searching for you. And Jesus, not disrespectfully, of course, for that would be sin, and he has never sinned, turned it around and said, how is it that you have sought me? Don't you know that I should be about my father's business, talking about God his father, not Joseph. And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. And the church said, Amen. Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for this true account of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ and even the early years of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord, we don't understand it all, but we believe it all. And we praise you and we thank you for it all. That is what you have done in so loving us to send your holy and only begotten Son to die on the cross for our sins as the Lamb of God who has taken away the sins of the world. Lord, help us to continue to lift him up, and we pray that millions would see Jesus and believe in him and trust him as Savior before it is eternally too late. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. Join us in praying for the church. Join us in praying for the estates. Number one, the church. Number two, the government. Number three, the people. Number four, the press. And number five, the new press. Holy Father God, we pray for church servant leaders. We pray for all evangelists, pastors, missionaries, teachers, denominational servant leaders, Bible teachers, Sunday school teachers, missionaries, and ministry workers, and people who do other tasks in the body of Christ. Lord, we pray that you would help us to pray in the church, to humble ourselves, to seek your face, to turn from our wicked ways. Revive your church again and help us all to get back to our first love, you, which you have commanded for us to do. And we pray for salvation, spiritual, family, financial, material, physical, life, protection, and provision, blessings upon your church and your people. And we pray that you'll give each and every one of us wisdom, knowledge, understanding, and insight. And Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for all governmental leaders on this Christmas morning, based upon 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. Which says, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. And so, Holy Father God, we pray for the president that we have now, as we have prayed for every president since President Ronald Reagan, after I trusted Christ as Savior. And we pray the same blessings down upon them, his family, his administration, each member of the White House staff, leaders of federal agencies, all members of Congress, all governors, all mayors, all police chiefs and sheriffs and military leaders. And we pray for the leaders of all nations around the world. And we pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And we pray in faith, believing, for you said, ask and ye shall receive. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. And so we know that you hear our prayers as we pray according to your holy word and your holy will. And we pray that you'll give all of these people wisdom, knowledge, and understanding and insight for today and for the days ahead. And on this Christmas morning, we do pray for all of these blessings to rest upon them and upon us all. We also pray for the media. We pray that you would save those who are lost, revive those who are saved. And we pray for the media times two. the traditional media and the new media online, that you will lead, guide, and direct people to report the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, and to not make the news about themselves, and to not make up news. We also pray today for current events around the world. Lord, you know about everything that's happening, and we don't. And so we commit all of the good, the bad, and the ugly into your hands. We pray that you'll comfort those who are hurting, strengthen those who are weak, rebuke those who are evil. We pray for the safety, comfort, protection, and salvation of the people of the Philippines who are suffering from a tropical storm which has killed over 180 people. And again, we pray for the people who have suffered horrific terrorist attacks and have lost loved ones who are not with them this morning on Christmas Day. And Holy Father God, we pray for the prayer requests. We thank you for hundreds of folks who have entrusted us with the most valuable thing in their lives, and that is their prayer requests. And we pray over just a few. We pray for Christina. Please be with her family because her grandson died. Comfort them as only you can. In fact, we got this prayer request yesterday, and the child died on yesterday. And so, Lord, comfort these people as only you can. Be with them as only you can. And, Lord, help their church to help them through this. We pray for Eric. Please provide them with clean bottled water, food for the ministers, sound equipment, fuel for the generator, transportation, and gospel tracts. We also pray for B. Please bless the youth conference and strengthen the women and children to serve you. We also pray for Kaijo. Please help her fight against false doctrine. We pray for Angela, for her husband who has been in jail for many years for a crime he did not commit. And we pray that justice would be done regarding his case. We pray for salvation and protection for her entire family and her friends. We pray for Al. Please deliver him from the problems that he's facing. And Holy Father God, we also pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for all of the people who have gotten saved through the ministry. Help these to grow in the faith and be the Christians that you want them to be. We pray for Yo. We pray for Matt. We pray for Incinta. Help these to grow in the faith and be the Christians you want them to be. Help us to be the disciples that you want us to be on this Christmas morning and for the remainder of our time on earth. Bless and anoint and prosper and use every Bible-believing church, Lord, to be great disciples of the newly born again in their communities. We pray for those who have recommitted their lives to you. We pray for Emmy. We pray for Mohan. We pray for Latanja. And Lord, help these to stand strong in the faith and be the Christians that you want them to be. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. We commit these souls into your hands, and we commit our souls into your hands. Let your will be done in our lives. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and for his sake, amen. Now, beloved, on this Christmas morning, I would be amiss if I would not share with you how that you can give the greatest gift to God by believing on his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the greatest gift to the world. If you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, Jesus Christ has a word for you straight from his lips He said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world." That includes you, dear friend. If you are in this world today, if you are still, by the grace of God, in this world today, He loves you. That He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever, His only begotten Son, I read the story about Him this morning, His name is Jesus, that whosoever, that word whosoever, means anybody at any time, believeth in Him, that is Jesus Christ, should not perish, that is, should not perish in hell, but have everlasting life, that is, in heaven with God. The Bible also says in Romans 10:9-13, that if thou, you, shall confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou, you, shall be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Just acknowledge that you are a sinner on Christmas Day. Admit that you have done wrong in God's sight and even in the sight of others. Admit that you have told lies before. Admit that you have cheated and been dishonest in areas of your life. Admit that you have stolen things that don't belong to you. Admit that you've lusted after a human being or material things. Admit that you have dishonored your parents and disrespected your parents. These are all in the Ten Commandments, and that's just a few. If you've done any of these things, you have broken the law of God, and you're on your way to hell. Yes, dear friend, on Christmas morning, the most beautiful morning of the year, I must remind you that there is a hell, and you have a hell to shun and a heaven to gain and a Savior to trust. And all you have to do is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. No, it is not difficult. Why would God make it difficult for such wicked, evil, sinful, ignorant people like we are? He made it extremely easy for you to be saved. For He wants you to be saved more than you want to be saved. And so all you have to do is put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, died on the cross for your sins and for mine. And He took them all away. And all you have to do is believe in Him. Believe that He died for your sins, was buried, and rose again. And pray and ask Him to save your soul, and He will save you. Yes, even on Christmas Day. I'll be glad to lead you in the sinner's prayer. Please repeat after me, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart on Christmas morning. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner and that I've done evil in my life in your sight. I've done wrong. I am guilty, and I understand, just like a criminal who has been convicted of committing crimes should go to jail, I should go to hell. But for Jesus Christ's sake, I'm asking you, Holy Father God, for mercy on this Christmas morning. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my sins, as I now believe with all of my heart in the Lord Jesus Christ. That he died for my sins, was buried, and rose again. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins past. Help me to turn from my old life and to follow you in the new life. In Jesus Christ's name, I pray, and for his sake, amen. Ladies and gentlemen, if you just trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you prayed that prayer with me, and you meant it from your heart, I declare to you that based upon the Word of God, you are now saved from hell, and you're on your way to heaven. Welcome to the family of God, dear friend. I want to congratulate you on doing the most important thing in life, and that is believing on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Until next time, my beloved, may the Lord bless you and keep you is my prayer. And just like Jesus Christ came the first time, he's coming again. So everything is going to be all right.
guarantee that he'll return to take us home and fulfill the prophecy. Just like you said you.